All right. Let's get rolling. We got more conspiracies to talk about today.
Never.
I feel like it's been forever.
Oh, it feels like, I know, it always feels like that. Alright, do we have any announcements? What's going on?
Any announcements?
Lincoln, tomorrow! We got Bravo, our last group going to Lincoln. Bravo. Alright, Alpha and Charlie team.
No, I want it. It's such a pretty thing.
What? Alright, who's on Bravo? Raise your hands if you're on Bravo. 1, 2, 3, 4. Who's on Alpha team? Raise your hand. Alright, Charlie team, raise your hand. Alright, so, Charlie's eating up the house. Alright, so, Alpha and Charlie, you guys planning on meeting up here tomorrow? Who's not coming tomorrow? Oh, good. Aaron's not right now. We gotta get that fixed. We gotta make that happen. Can you talk to Tabby? Or are you going to be obligated to be somewhere else?
So we got to be here 6:30. Yeah,
well, it's Friday, and so I have nothing to do.
Good.
I have nothing planned anymore. My time is
okay. Are you ready?
I love that.
Yeah.
All right. So what time are you guys meeting here?
6:30.
All right. So Alpha and Charlie team are meeting here at 6:30. All right. And Aaron, is that meeting afterwards just for the kids and adults or just for adults? Just for adults.
Wait,
is this my friend? All right. I mean, it's kind of different. It's definitely both not something you
can go. Is there anything else coming up? All right, well, Jenny, you know this stuff. Do we have any more announcements? I talked about the stuff that's happening tomorrow, but is there anything else coming up?
Look how much water
I drink. Oh, my God. Oh, my football. All right. Well, go ahead and stand up. Let's just pray and get into it.
I'm going to put my Bible right there.
Should we make a list of songs to run through, or should we just...
Oh.
All right, let's see. Call it out. What we got?
285.
I don't know what that is.
15.
I'm trying to figure out what this song is. 391. Oh, I never know.
Heaven came down, glory filled my soul?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that 453, 493?
I love that song.
493, thank you.
I know one.
All right, whoever said that.
Wait. Hey, Zach, love it.
What is it?
What is it?
46. Satisfied.
436. 492. Oh, yeah.
What's that one? Love Looks in Me is 441.
It's
441.
Well,
my brother's
left me and my girl. I wanted to do one of them.
I cannot remember that song to like save my life.
Yeah,
I really want to sing it. And I think he sang it. And I was like, oh, awesome. Can I see your fingernails? It's so weird because mine are so tiny.
All right. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. We'll get rolling here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much just for this opportunity to get to come back here to the youth group, come back to the church that we have, Father, and just the fellowship that we get to share with one another. Thank you for the sweet spirit that's here, Lord. Just the spirit of family and friendship and just brotherhood and closeness, Lord. I love these times you just get to step back and get away from the world and get a little taste of what it's going to be like when we go off to glory together. Lord, I really hope that you come down and do something for us tonight. There's a lot of preparation and time that was put into trying to make tonight successful, Lord, on the preaching end of it, Father. But I know a lot of that stuff can just be vain labor, Heavenly Father. And unless you come down and touch what was worked on, Lord, and you open up our hearts and let what has to go out, Lord, just pass out clearly, Lord, it's going to be just a waste of time. So I really pray that you would do something. But I also realize, Lord, that even if it's not one of those really good, miraculous, spiritual times that I've had with you plenty of times before, I just want to take this time out and just let you know that I appreciate the opportunity just to come and think about you and separate myself from all the other things, Lord. If you didn't do anything else for me, Lord, you're still worthy to be praised. And, Lord, I don't praise you because of the things you've given me. I just want to get to start to praise you more and more just because of who you are, Lord. I don't want to praise you because of the provisions, but just because of who you are, the provider, Father. I love you so much, and thank you for this time we get to sing. Let it be a transitional period for us to get our hearts and minds onto you. And, Lord willing, you'll do something for us tonight. Well, I love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 347. 347. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus.
Right, I don't know what that was.
Oh, yeah. Here you go. Tell it to Jesus. Is that too close, or is the chair too close?
Yeah, I feel like you're like super.
Just like in the way.
So sorry.
You want to move
this? I think you're good.
Okay.
You did good, Haley. All right, go ahead. Yeah, right up there, Kenzie. 347. Tell it to Jesus. And then we got to practice one of our new ones just to keep it fresh after this, and then we'll get through the rest of our
camera.
All right, tell it to Jesus. Here we go. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. And do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that humans are hiding? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've none other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus.
Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow?
Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. And are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus.
He is a friend that's well known.
You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. I forgot got some turn in this phase while we were singing. Now this one we went over last week. There are two really good here. 267. Let's hit this one more time. Just keep it fresh. It's a really good one. All things work out for good. Alright. Really simple. Here it goes. All things work out for good, we know. Such is God's great design. He orders all our steps below for purposes divine. Alright, this is why we need to work on it, because I forgot it. Alright, here we go. Listen to verse 1 again, and I will do that second part too. Verse 1.
All things work out for good, we know. Such is God's great design. He orders all our steps below for purposes divine. For purposes divine. Still, no matter what the test, and lets me glory in His will, for well I know 'tis best, for well I know 'tis best. So now the future holds no fear, God guards the work begun. And mortals are immortal here until their work is done. Until their work is done. Someday the path He chose for me will all be understood. In heaven's clear light I'll see all things worked out for good. All things worked out for good.
Now this is the counterpart to it. Same thing, same song, different lyrics. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His head with radiant glory's crown, his lips with grace o'erflow. His lips with grace. All right, on the first.
Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. His head with radiant glory's crown, his lips with grace o'erflow. His lips with grace o'erflow. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair who fill the heavenly train. Who fill the heavenly train. He saw me plunged in deep distress and flew to my relief. For me he bore the shameful cross and carried all my grief. And carried all my grief. To him I owe my life and breath and all the joys I have. He makes me triumph over death and saves me from the grave. And saves me from the grave.
Good job on that one, guys.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus, whose right hand is now on above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. shone as our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again. Oh, glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Brethren, we
have meant to worship and adore the Lord of God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
How you guys feeling that? You're a little lethargic, maybe?
Somewhat. The remix?
The remix?
The remix.
Laid back at ease. Slow down. You guys feel like that tonight? Feeling good?
Yeah.
Check them. All right, here we go. Brethren, we have met to worship. Pick it up, verse 2.
Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sister, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Sister, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sisters, prayer, holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers be showered all around. Brethren, we have learned to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All in vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
I sought a flag to follow, a pole for which to stand. I sought a valiant leader who would my love command. I sought a stirring challenge, some noble work to try, to give my life fulfillment, my dream to satisfy. I found them all in Jesus, the life, the truth, the way. Beneath his flags I'll take my stand and follow him today. I sought a ringing answer for all my doubts inside. I torch of truth uplifted, my searching steps to guide. I sought a word of wisdom, a true authority. I sought to know life's purpose, to solve its mysteries. I sought for satisfaction, for yearnings weep within. I sought for full deliverance from chains of guilt and sin. I sought for peace and pardon, for freedom from my fears. I sought a hope to cling to beyond these passing years. I found them all in Jesus, the life, the truth, the way. Beneath his flag I'll take my stand and follow him today. I found them all in Jesus, the life, the truth, the way. Beneath his flag I'll take my stand and follow him today. All my life long
I have panted for a draught from some clear spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Feeding on the husk around me till my strength was almost gone. Longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on.
Verse 3.
Poor I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy. But the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul's sad cry. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I'm now am saved.
That started everything like super low, because I'm even getting bottomed out here. Let's take it up a little bit. Alright, verse number 3.
For I was in sought for riches, something that would satisfy. But the dust I gathered around me only mocked my soul's outcry. Feeding on the husk around me till my strength was almost gone. Longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger first. All my life long I have panted for a drop from some clear spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt.
All right.
Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings through his blood.
Deep in
sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, saved am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. That love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful love and service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. And he's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me.
Alright, so we got two. That was Heaven Came Down on board.
That was a one.
Alright, so 271, 44. So, Ann Kennedy or Mike or Holes? What was it, 17 or Come Down Foul? Alright, so Ann Kennedy, Mike or Holes, or Come Down Foul?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Alright, if you want Come Down Foul, raise your hands.
Honestly,
if you want Ann Kennedy, raise your hand.
Honestly,
if you want Mike or Holes, raise your hand. I didn't count. I just wanted to see.
Oh my god!
Huh?
Oh my god!
Did you include the electoral votes?
Yeah, we did. Electoral votes. Where was that?
Right.
All right, let's try this one more time. Let's go backwards. What was it backwards? All right, Mike or Holes first. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, Ann Kennedy. Alright, it'll come down foul.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Mike or Holes, kids.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
479. What did you
want? I actually want to have a given glory for my soul. But this one was.
Now we remember it. I'll write it down. Wait, is it
Tempest-driven soul, I am peace. valley, though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds my anchor hold. Blow your wild and thin, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my
tonight, and that we get something out of it. I just want to thank you, praise you for everything that you've given us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, pray. Amen.
Nice and sweaty in here now.
Next time, Zach. Next time.
Right, next time. That's right. We'll close out with it next time. All right. It's the last time. Oh, excuse me. Start touching on a new subject. Conspiracies. Who remembers the conspiracy that we brought up last time, Marjorie?
The moon landing.
The moon landing. That was one. I gave you guys a list of 10 popular ones. Jarrett, what were you going to say? Oh, man. The silent conspiracy. RJ, what's your other one?
9/11.
That's another good one. Now, out of that list of 10, there's several of them that I definitely do believe. I won't get into those details and tell you which ones, but there's some very overwhelming evidence for those. Now, conspiracy doesn't mean it's not true. It doesn't mean that it's not possible. All it simply means is that, what, you guys remember what our definition for a conspiracy was? Not really. Sorry, guys, I had a little fit there. All right, so the definition, I have to actually go back and read this word for word just so I get it right. I want to just quote something. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Aaron. Aaron found it in his notes before I found it in mine. Thank you. All right. So a secret or a lawful deed, people come together for an evil purpose. For an evil purpose. Coming together for a secret, unlawful, or evil deed. Okay? So when we talk about the moon landing, maybe it wasn't evil, but it was a secret thing that they said went on. They said instead of him going up to the actual moon, they secretly went to a studio in Hollywood somewhere or somewhere to an undisclosed location and filmed all that stuff like on stage, basically, with lights and cameras in action. What's up?
But if that did happen, then what? Didn't like other people see like the rocket lift off?
I don't know. That's conspiracies for you. They get you every time. What's up, Marjay?
But I saw a video where they pointed out like some stuff though.
Studios.
Yeah, it was a studio. Like, it had a rock with a C on it and like a shadow.
Could be.
But we never know.
They won't know. And that was one of the disclaimers that I gave you guys about conspiracies when we get into these things. A lot of this stuff, you're never going to be able to find out the truth of it. I mean, there's really no point in really even digging. If you did find the truth, what would it do? Nothing. We already know all men are liars. We already know that it's not going to change anything that the Bible says is going to happen down here. But what it is, it's just conspiracies pretty much talk about who's behind getting the changes done. At the end of the day, what does it matter? We know who the main two players, the main two influences are. It's either you're getting influenced by God's spirit to do something for him, or you've been influenced and used by the devil to do something for him. So whether you call yourself the Illuminati, the Jesuit priesthood, the Scottish Rite, the Masons, or whatever you want to call yourself, it really doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, it's all going to line up to what the Bible says is going to happen. And not one word will be changed, not one jot or tittle will fall. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so last time when we talked about conspiracies, I wanted to define the word for you guys and get that laid out. And we also looked at just the overall reason behind the conspiracies. We went back there to Psalm chapter 2, and we looked at the definitive passage that I outlined in my Bible on what a conspiracy was in Psalm chapter 2. But what it did, it showed why conspiracies were out there. And the reason for it was that the world, the rulers of the world, rather, not just the ordinary people, but the rulers of the world, we're going to band together to separate themselves from God and from Jesus Christ, from his anointed. And that's what the Bible said back there. Now, today I want to talk about another part of that definition, and that's the word together. Last time when we were covering these conspiracies, I talked about one of our presidential candidates that has together as their slogan. That's their campaign motto. That's their mantra for their campaign. You guys know which one that is, who has together? Jenny's shaking her head. No, she doesn't believe me.
No, I don't know who it is.
I was going to say. Oh, she doesn't know who it is. Jared?
Yeah.
Osama bin Laden, what'd you say? Who was it?
You called me Osama bin Laden.
No, I was saying, it looked like you were about to say Osama bin Laden.
No, I was
going to
yell at Martin J because he shouts out in class.
Who was it? I couldn't hear. I'm sorry. I'm like going. I know. I stole your thunder. I'm sorry, man. All right, Hillary. There you go. So Donald Trump's motto is Make America Great Again. Hillary's motto is Together. All right, so let's look at that thing about being together today. Before we do that, turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I kind of want to show you guys the overall theme behind what we're doing. Pray for me. Lord willing, we'll end up making some sense out of this stuff. This is uncharted territory for me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1 says this. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever we're getting ready to talk about now has to do with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? And it says in verse 2, we beseech you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. So he's saying these things so that someone didn't get shaken in their mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Does anybody in here know the difference between the day of Christ and the day of the Lord, besides the counselors in the back or the one up front? Is it the same thing, the day of Christ and the day of the Lord? Maddie says no. Jared says no. Sierra says
no.
No. All right. So the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? Who knows what the day of the Lord is? Yes, it is, Christopher. Yes, it is.
Boy.
Yeah, that's right. Speak up. Use the big boy voice. Second coming. So the day of the Lord is the second coming. All right. I am going to break that thing. All right. And then the next one we just saw here, the day of Christ. This is a more particular day, and it has to do with the rapture of the church, guys. That's our day. That's the day we're looking forward to right there. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and my Lord shall appear. All right? So that's the day of Christ. So he's talking about the things that are surrounding the rapture and that day right there. Verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the one he just talked about, shall not come, except there come a falling away first. So before the rapture takes place, the Bible says something has to fall away from something. There has to be something that draws away from something, okay? So let's see if we can find out what that thing is and what all this is talking about. All right, so that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and there's something associated with the falling away, that man. So there's a falling away, and then there's a man associated with that falling away. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So two things have to happen before the rapture takes place. Number one, there has to be a falling away. But then, once that rapture takes place, and only then, will someone be revealed, the Bible said right there. Look at verse 4, talking about that man, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. A man is going to show himself that he is God. Not only that, verse 4 said, he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. So this man obviously is not going to be a good guy. Look at verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So when we did a definition of conspiracies, we talked about how it was the rulers of the world banding together against God. This man right here is against God also, because he opposeth himself, verse 4, and exalteth himself above God. But then look at verse 7. It's called a mystery. Conspiracies are like mysteries. Now, this is not one of your seven mysteries in the Bible. There's not like the list of six, and the seventh one is conspiracies, okay? But in our world, you can think of a conspiracy as a mystery. Well, what's a mystery? A mystery is something that you can believe, but you can't really explain clearly. All right, it's something that you believe, you know it's happening, but you don't have all the pieces to quite put it together. You can't prove it in court necessarily. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of pieces going on with it, but it's not very evident because it's done underground. That's what's going on right here with this guy. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, capital W, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So the Bible says, First is going to come a falling away. But there's someone that wants to be revealed during that falling away, but he's not going to come out until we get taken out of the way. That was up there at the top of verse, at the bottom of verse 7. He who now letteth will let, so he be taken out of the way. Someone's holding themselves back. They're not revealing themselves until the Holy Spirit of God. Where does the Holy Spirit of God live? Those of you that are going to discipleship. Christopher says in heaven.
No,
he hasn't gone to discipleship.
No.
Oh, where was that? You're just on the new look from the old book. Yeah. We're looking out. Okay. So yeah, inside of you. That's right. Inside of you, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost of God, which dwelleth in you. Okay, so there's a man that's probably alive right now in existence. Maybe he's on earth, maybe he's not, but he's in existence right now. The Bible says he's not going to reveal himself until a falling away happens, and then the Holy Spirit of God gets moved out of the way. And he's that guy in verse 8, that capital W, the wicked. All right, verse 9, the Bible says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders. Not only does he have those things, but look at verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, why are they going to die? Why are they going to perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure and unrighteousness. This is the day and age that we're living in right now. The gospel is going out, but it's probably getting rejected at a higher rate than it ever has been. And the Bible says those that are getting ready to perish because of their sins are still on them, they're headed to hell, that are rejecting the gospel. God says what he's going to do, he's going to allow them to fall for this delusion that's happening, this falling away that's taking place. Alright, so God says he's going to go ahead and allow that to happen because they already rejected the truth. And they're going to fall in line with all these things right here. So we're in this day and age. The Bible says wicked men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're in this day and age where it's very easy for conspiracies to take flight and go crazy because the truth gets rejected. And when you reject the truth, a lie, I heard a fellow say one time, a lie will travel around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes. And that simply means that lies travel faster than something that's true oftentimes. You can spread lies, you guys know about that on Facebook, on the internet, all types of junk that goes around, all right? That stuff spreads a lot faster than it takes for someone to come up with the truth. You can tell a lie just by opening up your mouth and talking to someone. To get the truth, sometimes you have to go to court, it takes years and years of investigation, and then finally 5 years later we can say, okay, he was actually innocent, that didn't happen. By that time, 50 more lies have been told. So you guys see that? So we're in a day and age where conspiracies are going to be rampant. They're going to be able to spread super quick because of what man has done with the truth. He's rejected it. Now, the devil is all about getting these things up and running and getting these conspiracies going because he's got a little plan going on here. We're going to talk about his plan of togetherness today. All right, togetherness. Now, the gal that has together as her slogan is Hillary Clinton. Her focus is on the unity of all the people, not just Americans. She wants to see the borders to come down. She wants open borders. She wants massive migration. She wants America's identity to get changed for a global identity. Okay? I'm not going to get to the politics of all this stuff, but I'm just going to give you guys a general idea of kind of how each candidate is even lining up with two of these concepts here. And if you were to describe her policy on culture in one word, you have to call her a globalist, okay? She's not for necessarily an American identity, but she wants to be incorporated in with the rest of the world. And that's why the devil's got good, big plans for if some, or for anybody that wants to be like that. Now, when you look at the contrast to that, Donald Trump, you got a guy that his slogan is Make America Great Again. You see that it's not together. Together is all-inclusive. Make America Great Again is exclusive. It excludes or it separates itself from any country that's not America. You guys see what I'm talking about yet? Okay, so that's very important. And with this, you see he has a focus on the development and the well-being of the nation and the American people. He's talked about stopping all Muslim immigrants. He wants to build a wall in between the U.S. and Mexico and make the Mexicans pay for it. And if you were to talk about his policies in one word, you would have to describe it as nationalism. Okay, he's for his country, for the country that he's in, for his people, and for their common good. Now, when the devil is trying to do something down here, and you got to remember this, his philosophy on the way he wants to do things, he wants to gather a crowd and get them together. Okay? The first group that he did that was back there in Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. That's where he gathered everyone together under one speech, under one language. And what do they do? They start building one tower to try to reach God in heaven. Okay, so when you look at what the devil did back there in history, you see that when he wants to do something, he does things by bringing folks together. Now, that's not the first time that he brought folks together. And actually, he started bringing people together way before Adam and Eve. You guys remember back there before God even made Adam and Eve, how Satan got kicked out of heaven? He brought two groups together. There were three groups of celestial beings up in heaven. You had cherubim, you had seraphim, and then you had the angels themselves, or the sons of God. The Bible says he is the fifth cherub. He crossed the lines, joined up with a third of the angels, and tried to do a revolt against God, rebel against God. Okay? Now you say, oh, I see what you're talking about, but what's the big point with that? You're going to see that when God does things, he has folks separate themselves out. He divides. He uses individuals. He uses things that are separate from a common unity or a group. Turn over to Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. All right, this is God's statement on separation and how he does things. So when God made man, he broke us up. He made us with differences. And this is his plan for that thing. Let's look at what he has to say about it. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. The Bible says, "It hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth." So there's something that we have in common. There's something that we're together in. We have the same blood. Okay, unless you're an alien, you're going to have red blood. All right, so he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined, here's where it starts to get tricky with our day and age, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So God gave man a certain amount of time. He gave him an appointment of time. And the Bible also says that he gave them bounds to their habitation. So not only did he make man and give him a certain time to dwell in, we know when you go over to Psalm chapter 90, the Bible talks about man's days are 70. And also the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that there's an appointment. Forgot about that. Hebrews 9, 27. Who knows what that is over there? As it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, the judgment. So he's got a certain amount of time on this planet that God's given him. But not only that, he's got a certain distance that he can actually go. When you get over there into Psalm chapter 115, verse 6, you know, we talk about our space program and will we ever get up to Mars and will we ever go off to these other planets and stuff like that. Not while we're still sinners. Because the Bible says over there in Psalm 115, verse 6, that the heavens, even the heavens belong unto the Lord, but the earth he hath given to the children of men. So that's one bounds that he gave them. But then you know what you find out? God gave the different groups of people that he made down here bounds too. And what you're going to see is that God's plan for the Gentiles that came from Shem, Ham, and Japheth was for them to be separate while they're down here. You guys know how to make a perfect banana split or how it's supposed to be made?
I never had one.
You never had one? I really like them, even though I'm lactose intolerant. They're really good. And so the old-fashioned classic way of making a banana split, if you look it up in the dictionary, is actually you got to have three types of ice cream, three flavors. Okay. There you go, Sierra. She's never had one, but she's read up on them. This is great. This is very good. All right, so to make a banana split, you got to have chocolate ice cream, you got to have strawberry ice cream, you got to have vanilla ice cream. And then you take the bananas and split that thing and cover it over with all that wholesome goodness and do all that stuff like that. So I want you guys to think about that. The way that God intended for the Gentile nations to be was like a banana split. You know what? There's good with chocolate. There's good with vanilla. And there's good with strawberry. So you got three Gentile races. You got Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And when God made them, he broke up each one of those races and split them up for a reason. We're going to talk about that in a second. Now, whereas God's plan for the Gentiles was to be separate, God's plan for the church, for the saved people, was actually to be together. This is where the devil tries to confuse the things. Because what he's doing right now with the world, he wants to take what God separated out with the Gentiles. The devil's trying to take that and flip it and make those all together and then divide the church and make them separate. And that's a lot of stuff that you see going on today. So whereas God said, you Gentiles, go out there and make yourselves a good banana split. You know, you're going to dwell down here together. You all got the same blood. You got the same sugars. You're all ice cream. But you're still strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla. But with the Christian, we're like a Neapolitan ice cream. You see that? You guys know what Neapolitan ice cream
is? Yeah, it's combined.
Okay. Had some blank stares there. So with the Neapolitan ice cream, you got one gorgeous tub. All right? And in that tub, blended in so perfectly, ever so carefully, is strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla. And if you're doing right, if you're not backsliding, you can put your spoon in there with one swoop and get all three of them in one. Take a bite of all. That's right. So it's like the church, okay? They're all three together just like that. And when you look at this thing, Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Did I read all the way through there? I'm like losing my train of thought right now. Did I start verse 26 and then I finish? Okay. I'm going to read verse 26 and then 27. Then we're going to finish up here. Watch. He says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That, this is why. Why did God appoint them bounds, the Gentiles? Why did he give them determinations on their times and on their bounds? Here it is. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For some reason, God set it up so that whenever we separate ourselves and get alone, that's when we get closer to him. When God separated out these Gentile nations, he separated them for the purpose that they would be alone. They would have nothing else to focus on but themselves and God. Okay? That's what his plan was when he did this thing back there. He wanted their focus to be on God. Now with the church, I'm going to define both of these real quick and then we'll come back and look at them. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 2, the Bible talks about how you had the Japhethites there, you had the Hamites, and you had the Shemites there. You had Barnabas, who was a Jew. You had a Cyrenian there, that was a black guy. And then you had Manaen, who was a Japhethite. So you had all these guys back there. You had all three races in one. But you say, well, how is that possible? Why did that work then? Because the Bible says their focus wasn't on themselves. Their focus was on God. The Bible says they were together as one as they ministered to the Lord. That's the difference. That's why it works in church, but it doesn't work in the Gentile world. Because in church, your focus shouldn't be on yourself. It shouldn't be on anything that's fleshly or physical. It should be on God. Your focus is on God. You're supposed to reckon your flesh dead. That means your race included. That means that you are now a new creature in Christ and you belong to a fourth race. Okay? You're not a part of Shem, Ham, and Japheth any longer because that's all a part of this physical flesh that's going to go down on the ground and get burned up someday. You've got a brand new soul, a spiritual body, who the Bible says, it doth not yet appear what you shall be. Sierra, what were you going to say?
How did they all get split? Like split up in like the end? Because, I knew, whenever, they built, the tower, God, made them all different languages.
Mm-hmm.
But, what happened to them, as soon as, they couldn't understand each other, they just, flee from, the church? Because, they... How in the world did they make another Bible in their language?
Wow. I think you cover a lot of time and a really, really fast sentence there. Get with me afterwards. I don't know if I can hit all that stuff right now. Those are some good things, though. Don't be discouraged. That was really good. You're on the right track. Okay, so... The church, it doesn't see things like God sees it. It doesn't see things like the world sees it. The world, the Bible says, looks on the outward appearance. But the Bible says God looks upon the heart. Over there in John chapter 7, verse 48, the Bible talks about that we're not supposed to look or judge according to appearance, but by righteous judgment. So like I said, the world can't do this because they're spiritually dead and can only operate in the physical. They have to identify with whatever they are physically. So like I said, when God made the Gentiles, he broke them up and put them into different places. You guys know this. When you guys think about the Vikings that had those great big ships, Do you think about North Africa?
No.
Okay, right. When you think about the Mongols, you know, like Mongolian barbecue and the Asians and stuff like that, you don't think about the Arctic tundra, or excuse me, you don't think about the Sahara Desert or nothing like that. No. Pharaoh doesn't belong in Iceland. A witch doctor you wouldn't expect to see in Parliament, or you wouldn't expect to see an islander in the Rockies, okay? So each group has an association that they're connected to in your mind, and God broke them up for a purpose and for a reason. And that's what God was doing when God made man. He did that so that they could have these differences, so that they could be separate to focus on him. Now, what I'm trying to do right now, might be stumbling over, but I'm trying to lay the groundwork for the conspiracies that we have nowadays, the lines that they're trying to break down. What the conspiracies and what they're trying to do nowadays, the overall goal of those that are, like we talked about last time when we ended the class, Jared said, what about those that sell their souls to the devil to get used by him? The overall goal for those guys, what they're trying to do to accomplish the devil's plan, is to break down these borders. And I thought it was just so funny that that's kind of one of the two things that we see in this election this year with these two candidates. We see one that wants to increase immigration by 550% and bring in more and more people into our country that you know, haven't been vetted, haven't been properly looked through, and are just random folks that have no care about America's values, want to bring them in here, while another guy wants to build a wall, stop the immigration program, and keep them all out. Those powers that be are really struggling against one another right now. And that's one of the things that we see. And like I said, we know about it. You say, well, why in the heck would God do that in the first place? Well, variety is the spice of life. I mean, he gave each one of them different cultures, different languages, different tongues, different ways that they do things. You guys go to a black church, they worship differently than an Asian one. Southerners and Northerners, they worship differently in church. You know, it's funny, one of the Southern preachers talked about how he went over to Yugoslavia one time, or actually Romania, right after that wall came down over there, and I guess some of those people have heard about how the Southerners in America would say amen and how they would shout and stuff like that. And in the middle of his sermon, I guess over there, they didn't really have that type of culture. And he would get over there and start preaching and just start going after it. But they were really enjoying it. They just don't express themselves the same way. And one of the guys after the service came up and said to him, he was like, you know, I just, when you're preaching, I get so on fire. And I just feel like I'm coming to life. And I just don't think I can contain it. And I almost feel like I'm going to explode. And the preacher said, you know what, I understand that. What we do back home, we actually let out a shout. And he said, a shout? He's like, well, you know how like you kind of boil up and you get so filled with pressure and steam that you just feel like you got to release it. He said, think of it like a teapot. He's like, you know when that teapot gets hotter and hotter inside, the pressure starts to build and build and build, and all of a sudden you can't do nothing about it, and the teapot lets out that steam? The guy was like, oh, yes, the teapot, I understand. So the guy walked away, and the preacher thought he had done him a favor, and he gets preaching again the next night, and things start going well. Once again, he sees that guy out there just getting excited and not being able to handle himself. He's like, this guy sure enough going to explode. And so he keeps on going. He's firing away at it. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, while he's in the middle of his message, he hears, he's like, what the heck was that? When that guy did that, I guess it encouraged other people in that congregation to do the same thing. I guess they're feeling the same way. So all of a sudden, he's preaching the sermon, and all of the congregation, they didn't say amen, but that's how they let out steam. All right, that's the cultures. They're different like that. The cultures are all different, how they handle things and how they do things like that. But the whole thing is, God gave them those differences for a certain purpose and for a reason. He made those divisions and he kept them separate for the purpose that he was like, you know what, while you're separate, you're not going to be focused on anything else. You'll be focused on me. And you guys know about that. My greatest times with God are not, you know, up here in youth group. When I'm up here in youth group, this is like a sacrificial time. One, I'm trying to present something and trying to get something out. And I'm like, God, I hope this thing makes sense and, you know, it gets out clearly. This is more of like a trial. I feel like I'm getting my tail kicked. A lot of the times I'm up here trying to do this thing. My best times with God are when I don't have to look at you all's faces. I don't have to put on a show or not a drug or something like that. God help me. You know. But you know, it's when I'm alone. And that's when I can really get something from God. When I'm up here and doing the talking, sometimes, you know, God would drop something in me like while I'm in the middle of preaching or laying something out and be like, oh yeah, thanks God, thanks for showing that to me. It would feed me. But most of the time it didn't happen like that. It's when I'm alone. And that's what God's plan for man was. He wanted these nations to be separate, to be focused on him, to get the thing done that way. And that's what will happen in your own life. Once you get alone with God, or once you get by yourself, that's when God will speak with you. And it's kind of a funny thing. If you put a human by itself, you kind of look at some of these psychological studies, even if they don't believe in God, they'll invent someone to talk to. You guys saw that movie with Tom Hanks, Castaway, and his little volleyball Wilson, stuff like that. When a person gets alone by themselves, they still do want to talk with someone and interact with someone, okay? The same thing happens when a little kid gets put over in timeout. They get alone by themselves to get corrected, to think about the things that they've done. The problem with humanity is that when we're together, when we're side by side, all we focus on is each other. And that's one of the things that God was trying to get separate. When you get in trouble in school, your teacher doesn't go send you into a big group. She puts you on a little buddy chair or something like that, or a safe spot. They get you alone. Your parents will do the same thing, like I said, in timeout. You see the same thing in prison. That's how Jared's dad got saved. It wasn't until he acted up and then got put in the hole alone that God had that opportunity to work into his life. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the Roman Catholics, they confess to be spiritual because of the way that they can separate themselves from society and be alone. So, I said all that to say this. We got to look at what's going on now in our world. Okay? Let's look at it like this. When it comes to modern day conspiracies and the main one that's going on right now, the number one movement that they're working on is to try to get everyone together. A one world government, a one world religion under one ruler, so that one man can come and take over all that and show himself that he is God and be worshiped in the temple of God. Okay? Now, how did this start? I'm going to read something to you. This was discovered a while back, actually, at the beginning of the 20th century, by a guy by the name of William Guy Carr. And William Guy Carr was a commander in the Canadian Navy, an admiral, I believe. And he was actually not just in the service, but he was actually the intelligence officer. So he was the guy that got to do all the spy stuff and the top secret stuff. And one of his findings that he came across while he was in that Navy was what I'm going to read to you right now. And it has to do with some of the elite powers that he was working against. And he was a commander during World War II. And he got to see like the upper echelon type of things that went on. One of the cool things about this guy that I didn't find until researching later on is that he was actually a saved man also. And it was kind of cool how he was able to make these comparisons and see what was going on in his day and age. But what he did, he actually said that the higher powers, the elite, like they call themselves or whatnot, they had a plan to be able to get the world under one world, under one world rule, under one world government, and their plan was to do it through three wars, okay? And you say, well, how would a war help that out? I mean, why would a war bring that about? That seems like that would separate everyone if you're fighting, if you're, you know, got types of chaos and stuff like that going on. No, no, no. You see, when you have structure all over the world, when you have these divisions and these lines and stuff like that, you guys ever see what the world was like before we had World War I and World War II? You had the Russians up here in their own little nook in their little corner and stuff like that. You had the Germans over here. You had all these nations separated and doing their own things. And even when nations would help one another out, they would still end up going back to their own boundaries. But what you got to do if you want to bring the world together, you have to start to weaken those dynasties. You have to start to weaken those nations, okay, so that they have to rely on each other. So their idea was, go around the world, find out where the strength is in each one of these areas, find out the differences that the strongest powers have, get those powers to fight against one another. That would make that nation weak, and then these guys can come in and take over. But listen to this thing. This is something William Guy Carr found out that was done by, he actually got a letter of one of these guys that was a part of that Illuminati group that I talked to you about. And I'm just going to read it straight off the actual book that I found, and it says this. In Pawns of the Game, Carr claims that World War I was fought in order to enable the Illuminati to overthrow the powers of the Tsars in Russia. So you guys remember that, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand and all that stuff like that got World War I kicked off. And back then in Russia, they were ruled by Tsars, okay? They had these rulers back there. And what they had to do, they had to find out a way to eliminate their power. So, World War One was fought in order to enable the Illuminati to overthrow the powers of the Tsars in Russia and to turn that country into the stronghold of atheistic communism. The differences stirred up by the agents of the Illuminati between the British and German empires were used to foment the war. Now, foment just means to promote or incite the war. After the war ended, communism was bolstered and used to destroy other governments and weaken their religions. So before this war, Russia was broken up by these czars, okay? And their religion was Greek Orthodox, okay? There was like a lot like the Roman Catholic Church. They're Orthodox. And what their goal was, their goal was to get rid of that Russian church, get rid of the czars, and replace that thing with atheism and communism. Okay? And that's exactly what happened. When you look at what took place in World War One, those czars got thrown down. They lost their power. Those great families of Tsar Nicholas and those other ones like that over there, they all lost their power. And what took place was this big mob, this communism group, this communism government. And what you had atheism that took its place of that religion of orthodoxy. After the war ended, communism was bolstered and used to destroy other governments and weaken religions. After this, World War II was fomented by using the differences between fascists and political Zionists. Now, fascist, political Zionists, that's just going to be Nazism, and Zionism is just going to be the nation of Israel, the Jews. This war was fought so that Nazism would be destroyed and the power of political Zionism increased, so that the sovereign state of Israel could be established in Palestine. During World War II, international communism was built up until its strength equaled that of United Christianity. At this point, it was contained and kept in check until required for a final social cataclysm. So they say the whole point of World War II was to build up the Jewish people. And we see that thing took place. You know, Bob's talked about plenty of times, you know, when God was working his plan with World War I, he was trying to get that land ready for the Jew. And at the end of World War I, they had that Balfour Declaration where those guys got together and said, hey, we need to give the Jewish people their land back. So they get their land, but then the Bible talks, you go through it down through history and you see World War II take place, and it wasn't until then that the Jewish people really got built up. They went through that persecution, then they got built up to where they could become a nation in their land once again. All right. He says, moving in the future, Carr claimed that a report came into his possession through the Canadian Intelligence Service of an alleged speech in 1952 by Rabbi Emanuel Rabinovich, in which it was made known that the secret powers wished to precipitate World War III within 5 years. Small nations would ally with either Russia or the United States, with Israel remaining neutral. So they then say that their third way that they wanted to jack up the powers that be was then, once Israel got into their land, was to take the United States, have them line up against Russia, and then have the teams decide which side that they're going to be on. And this is back in the 50s when he started writing this. This is around that Cold War era, all right? We kind of saw that movement die off, but I don't know if you guys have heard some of the stuff that's been thrown back and forth in the media here lately, how upset Russia's getting with what the Democrats are kind of saying about them. And, you know, we've had a little buzz here lately about Russian military getting ready to do a strike against us and stuff like that. Whereas before we had a really good relationship with them and things were going very well with us in Russia. But right now, what we're starting to see is kind of a buildup of this thing getting ready to take place. More and more and more you're hearing people talk about, well, what about World War III coming up? And what about the Russians? And what about these guys? Well, there's that out there now, so... next time we get together, I'm going to show you guys the third element of this. And how this guy who was reading this paper is reading a paper that was written back in the 1800s, okay? William Guy Carr wrote his book around the 50s. The paper he's getting his information from was done before World War One. And I thought it was funny how these events transpired just like they wrote way back then. And how these same events are starting to transpire nowadays. And it's just an idea to try to give you guys kind of a look into What's happening around you. Give you guys a little bit of an upper hand when you're talking to people out there and see what's going on in your world today. All right, so we'll hold up there tonight. We'll pick it up on that third element the next time that we get together. Let's pray it out. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we got to spend together tonight. I pray and ask that something that the kids heard tonight, Lord, you'd be able to take and use and develop something in them later on throughout the week. We love you and thank you and pray and ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so what were you saying?
I was talking about how the guys after
take that like an hour to get this done.